Our gospel for today comes from Mark chapter 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for he was terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. So this is a great story. And I think there are moments in life where you can see things differently. Your awareness shifts. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. I hear that this happens with a bride on her wedding day, or a woman who is pregnant when she glows. People say that the love just shines right through. I think transfiguration tells such a moment of love. Jesus takes his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they went up this mountain, and they saw something unexplainable. In this moment, identity was changed. This transformed vision in light of divine love happened right before them. A new reality is understood. See, transfiguration is a pivotal point in this story. It launches Jesus into a new direction. We know that he comes down this mountain to head to another where he's placed on a cross, a very specific purpose. This is a pivotal story for us. As Pastor Gary said, we head into Lent this coming week, a different type of journey than Epiphany was. This launching into a new direction, opening a new possibility for experiencing the grace and mercy of God. And in that moment, Jesus' appearance changes, even if just for that brief second. And the disciples are dazed and confused, or terrified, whichever word you want to use. And so Peter, in his infinite wisdom, decides we're going to build some booths. Now, maybe it's to savor that moment with these three amazing people, or maybe it's to protect them from that moment, protect them from that shining light of that glory and not knowing what to do with it. Because you see, when you have an encounter with God, you have to change. When you experience God's glory, it changes you. And then others can see that glory in you by the way you live. By the way you live your life, by the way you love other people, by what you do and what you say. Your life changes. It's a moment of glorification. And in that moment is pure love shining through. This moment communicates that we are loved just as Jesus is loved. This is the gift of transfiguration. So maybe transfiguration is not as much about Jesus as it is about the disciples. Maybe the point of the transfiguration is to change the disciples as they too launch into a new experience. That what you see and what you experience transforms the way you live. Now, a colleague was sharing with us this week about how his congregation has been studying and learning and transforming, or trying to, with their community around them. They've been trying to figure out what direction their church should go in the coming years. And so he was saying around their council table, they were having a conversation about that type of leadership and what's the difference between a Christian and a disciple. So they were doing a lot of brainstorming on this, and one of his leaders said, a Christian can be passive, but a disciple cannot. Now, I found that very interesting, that a Christian can be passive because we all know people around us that believe in God and love God truly and fully. But when we are called to be a disciple, you can't just love, you have to share. You have to be. Your life is changed as a disciple. Because once you have experienced that glory, that love, you can't help but to share it and encourage others. Now, in 2004 to 2007, these were the years where movies about athletics were very popular. In 2004, there started being movies like The Miracle or Glory Road, Coach Carter, Remember the Titans. Are any of these movies familiar? Great. So they're all based on true stories, put into a movie genre. And this was also the time in my pastoral career where I was a youth pastor. And so I spent a lot of time with teenagers. And in this particular community that I served, it was very much a sports-centered community, that everything revolved around sports and how you achieved on the field or on the court. And so teenagers would always come to youth group, and they would be complaining, for lack of a better word, about their coaches and how difficult their coaches were. And so these movies were all coming out at the same time, and one of the teenagers would always bring a movie to youth group, and we would watch it. One of the most memorable ones for me is Coach Carter. Coach Carter is about Ken Carter, who's a coach in, I think it's Marvin or Marlin, Texas, just south of Waco. He's a coach that owns a sporting goods store in his hometown of about 6,000 people, where the average income in the mid-90s was about $10,000 per household. And so it was a struggling community. And so Coach came home, started this sporting goods store, and decided that he was going to coach his hometown, Richmond Oilers, in basketball. And so he had some rules and regulations. He wrote a contract with his kids that they had to maintain a certain GPA. I believe it was a 2.1. So this is not a difficult GPA to hold, but in a community like where he was living, which was also very sports-centered, it was very difficult because it was all focused on sports, not academics. So as the year is going on, his team is undefeated, and he comes to learn from his colleagues, his teachers. He finally gets some performance reports, and all of them are below the 2.1 average. So he does what he calls the Great American Lockout. He locks the court doors, so they can't get in for practice. They have to go to the library. It ends up that it's through a couple of games as well. And so the community is in outrage, and they decide it's time to fire Coach Carter, who has been teaching these boys basketball, who's been teaching them academics, who's been teaching them how to become men. The community has decided that sports is more important. Let's open these doors. So Coach Carter says to the school board, well, if you vote to unlock those chains, then you don't have to fire me. I'll quit. He quit. And let's see what happens.
Sir, they can cut the chain off the door, but they can't make us play.
We've decided we're gonna finish what you started, sir.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. Sir, I just want to say thank you. You saved my life.
Thank you, sirs. All of you.
Now, when you go home this afternoon to watch this movie, because I know you're going to want to, you can see throughout the whole thing how the encouragement of these players to one another and the coach to the players and vice versa, you could see that in Coach Carter, Samuel L. Jackson's, face. You could see that encouragement. You can see what difference that makes. Now, in my youth group, we focused on that one young man who stood up and gave that little speech. And the thing that the youth resonated with the most was our deepest fear is that we are not inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Now, at first, they focused on the inadequate because they felt like they are. But then they focused on what that means to have this power beyond measure. Because trusting and knowing that you are a child of God gives you a power, gives you a knowledge and a love beyond measure that we are asked to share. Now, 10 years later, I looked up that quote. Could you put that on the screen? The quote is actually from Maureen Williamson, and it comes from a book called A Return to Love, written in the mid-90s. And you'll notice that in the movie, they did not use the word God at all, did they? But it's in this quote. It says, it is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. This is a gift that is given to you freely and wholly, that we are to let shine, to let that glory show. In that second line, it says that we are all meant to shine as children do. You've all seen it in the faces of your own children or grandchildren or friends' children or whoever that might be. That love just radiates. That love is in you as well. And people are looking for it. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. Not just some of us, but everyone. That last line, the youth kind of resonated with that as well. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So this youth group spent hours upon hours talking about what it would mean to be liberated in their school context, focused on sports, focused on a coach that maybe wasn't all they dreamed the coach would be, knowing and trusting that they are a child of God, what does that mean to bring that knowledge with them into their school system, into a system of friends that may or may not know God or believe God? But to know that this presence automatically liberates others. This is our need for transfiguration and people to support us along the journey. Now, maybe it's not often this big flash that happens on a mountain, but maybe it's a process like what happened with these kids in this movie. It's a process, it's a journey that we are on of being transformed in each and every moment. And maybe it's not just about Jesus' revelation of his glory, but the fact that we wish for our own glory. Now, not in some narcissistic look at me kind of way, but recognizing this deep human need for transformation, for change, for conversion, for a makeover, for an alteration, deep inside of us, it's there. And that light of love will give it to us. Transform us. It's within us. And it's ours to share as we automatically liberate others around us. this is the message of this glory, love light shining in our lives. And thanks be to God for this amazing grace.